Good afternoon, KD&K listeners, and this is Edward Troy, Liberal Gladiator, and of course, we're listening, we're doing Weight Off Your Shoulders and a fitness show. So, but we do have a quick statewide emergency message. There is a major closure of I-70 both directions in Glenwood Canyon. I-70 is closed in both directions between Colorado 82, Glenwood Springs, and Dotsero. Mile marker 133 due to a semi-tractor trailer crash affecting both the upper and lower decks. There is no estimated time for reopening. We hope that everyone is okay within our list. Well, we hope everyone is okay wherever they are listening to this, or even if they're not. In my studio right now, I have Robbie Davis and my co-host, Lori Spencer. We're going to be talking to Robbie about his recent victory in the Reebok CrossFit Games. And so I've had Robbie here before. He's been an incredible competitor. And as a fellow competitor and other stuff, we both know how to compete. So a simple person sees things very simply. So here we go. Robbie, how are you doing there?
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Great to see you again. And so you had your competition when?
It was August 2nd through the August 6th.
Okay. Now, what kinds of events did you have to do? What kinds of, there are certain things that you get basically a hidden workout. You don't know what it's going to be. No one prompts you and says, hey, by the way, this is your competition. Unlike the Olympics where you know, gee, I'm running a 200-meter sprint. I got 4 years to plan for it.
Yeah.
You got 4 minutes.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun this year. I mean, we started off with an obstacle course. So we had probably about an 800-meter run, and then you had about a 600-meter obstacle course you had to run through. And, we did that in heats, and the person with the best time won that. And then we went into some typical CrossFit programming, a lot of body weight movements mixed in with Olympic lifting or just cardio workouts, whether it be rowing, biking, running, swimming even.
Okay. Now, per our previous discussions, I know you had, a previous competitive, experience doing adventure racing, right?
Yeah, adventure racing. I've been pretty lucky to be fairly athletic my entire life, so I always played, soccer, baseball, basketball, football. Started playing rugby when I got into the valley here with the Gentlemen of Aspen. And then from there, I did some triathlons, and then I went into adventure racing, and then I found CrossFit.
Okay. And so the reason I bring that up is that Robbie is, I suspect, you please do correct me, someone that has, experiences being a competitor in different kinds of venues and different kinds of competitions, not just CrossFit. So you're not like just a CrossFitter. You're like, you have a pedigree in competition.
Yes. Yeah. I've always, again, been fairly lucky being athletic and being able to be on very competitive teams, whether it was here in Aspen with the rugby team or even just, when you go solo triathlon wise, things like that. I think that all helps out. Especially triathlons, because it's, you're there by yourself. You're not depending on your teammates to help you out. And the level of training you have to do for, triathlons to maintain that fitness over, depending on what you want to do. I did half Ironman. And so I think that helped out a lot with the CrossFit training.
All right. Now, how do you think that competitive pedigree, if you will, differentiates you from perhaps maybe some of the other folks that are in that you were competing against in these games this year?
So, I think the more you compete, the more you realize what your boundaries are. And it's being able to really challenge yourself with those boundaries, like run that fine line of, too much or too little, especially in a competitive area where, everybody else is doing the same thing. But for over the years, running that fine line and finding, really what this body, this machine that carries us around in can handle and how hard you can push it before it tries to break you down.
Yeah, don't you find it astonishing as a competitor how feeble most of members of the species and we'll be specific to our gender.
Hey, hey, hey.
Here we go.
Don't here even start go. There, E.T.
Okay.
Don't go there.
Okay.
That was the opening for you to jump on in.
Yeah, because he knows me so well.
We'll open horizons up to include everyone in the species.
Listen.
Don't you... Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you something. Women, because I was reading about you because I knew nothing of you.
Okay.
And you were saying that you were blown away at your wife,
mm-hmm.
at how she was pretty much excelling in working out than what you were able to do.
Sure.
Right?
So, I mean, that's a great thing. Great, great thing. I think.
So there.
Watching over the years, and I'll just take Just CrossFit into this because that's my most recent volley into sports. Watching the progression of women in just that sport is incredible. I mean, they are truly outpacing the men in their advances, in their just not only their physical physique, but their prowessness, their fitness. You know, they... A lot of people will say women can handle more pain than men. Geez, they give childbirth, right? So what do we know?
I will not argue that one.
What do we know about
bro
pain?
Bro.
We
don't.
Well, what were you gonna? What was your slander on your, you know, gender bias there, Edward?
Well, actually, let me bite my tongue and just fall into a momentary silence.
Well, good. That would probably be quite advisable.
The childbirth put him right back in place.
I thank my mother for her hard work. But
with all honesty, I mean, it's truly incredible. And to watch, you know, women just in my gym, I've seen this, said this many times before, you know, a lot of times they never use barbells. So they're totally new to this whole thing. And you find that as they start becoming more comfortable with them, or just the movements in general, about their personal confidence, watching how their confidence in themselves, their belief in themselves changes. It's awesome. That's one of the reasons why, you know, we started the gym, and that's why we love having people at our gym do that.
Huh. I think that's really interesting because I've noticed that too. Mm-hmm. I work with pretty exclusively a chronic pain population,
mm-hmm.
and I find it fascinating that when I'm like, to my females, well, you have to, you know, not work out, not go to the gym for a week, two, maybe a month, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
Really depends on the severity of the trauma
mm-hmm.
experienced, and it kills them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, really? It's just don't do it for, like, you know, a week.
I find it harder to sit on the couch for a couple of weeks at a time than to be a hard 2-week session in the gym. Just by the time you get so sedentary, yeah. like my back, my knees, shoulders, everything just starts to kind of tighten up and ache. And although I have taken quite a bit more time than normal off since the games this year, mostly to just concentrate on work and doing things like that. But, you know, I'm ready to get back. I'm starting to feel the difference.
So I've had a question that I've really been considering, again, based on my work and what I've noted within people that partake in CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be stereotypical, because I understand that every specialty, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Carries different levels of instruction.
Yes.
So I imagine in CrossFit, there's also the same that, you know, someone can be instructing and not really look at the ergonomics
mm-hmm.
of whatever it is that they're engaging in.
Sure.
And what I've noticed is with the, and I don't know the terminology for sure. it, so I apologize,
yeah.
but it's when you hang, you like jump on the bar
mm-hmm.
and then you start doing pull-ups.
Sure.
Well, when you're swinging
okay.
in my mm-hmm. world, right, yeah. it sets you up for injury.
Mm-hmm.
How do you avoid that?
So, you know, a lot in our gym, we really try to work so that if you cannot do, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 strict pull-ups, you know, we do not let you start to learn to kip. And that's what you're talking about, kind of the swinging pull-up is a kipping pull-up. So what we really try to do is build the strength around the shoulders prior to letting you really, and I like to, my analogy is like really force your body into positions where you're like a bamboo stick, right? So you load it and release it. And this is the basics of every gymnastics kip. And the thing about gymnastics is you spend so much time doing ancillary work to strengthen your body around and your core around what you're doing that you, and you stretch. You know, this is probably the biggest key for any athlete out there, especially as we grow a little bit older, is having mobility. And, you know, I'm preaching things that I don't always practice. My mobility is not the greatest, but I've spent a lot of time doing a lot of ancillary work just to strengthen muscles all around, all the little muscles around the big muscles.
So one of the things that you're bringing up is, you know, with the kipping pull-ups, if you will, is that the reason why you have a progression from the regular type of pull-up is that for a moment, the dynamic tension in a kipping pull-up is extremely high. So you have a sharper muscular pulse and much more tension, if you will, across the shoulder joint or the glenohumeral joint for people who really want to be semi-technical.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to progress to that. In the same way, before doing plyometrics, there should be some ability to do a non-explosive strength-oriented movement where the emphasis is more on the concentric phase of muscular contraction and less so on the eccentric to concentric muscular coupling.
Sure.
And so what you're doing is you're showing that you have the expertise when you're teaching someone or training yourself to understand that there are those types of progressions which are, you know, extremely beneficial, but allow for competitive ability.
Yeah.
And so in your training, what kinds of progressions are you using for, say, the obstacle courses? What, you know, or some of the other things? What were on those obstacle courses?
Yeah. So even, and I'll kind of break it down to like now, like after the games, I've had, you know, a month and a half, almost 2 months off, right? And this is something I normally don't take that much time off. But even now, even if I go back into the gym, having been at, you know, kind of world-class competitive fitness, I will start with a strict program. I will not go back and start doing kipping pull-ups. I will not go back and start very dynamic movements, especially gymnastics movements, or even, you know, Olympic lifting movements, which is another dynamic movement. I would stay light, really concentrate on form, and then, you know, progress back into it. And so even with just a little bit of time off from one fitness level to another, you have to, you know, kind of set your ego aside and realize that you have to work your way back into it. Otherwise, you're begging for injury.
So you would progress basically from doing the slower moving power lifts before, and you're building a base, and then you go into the more explosive Olympic lifting.
Yep.
And then from there, perhaps go into, you know, bounding and other types of plyometrics.
Exactly. And even in Olympic lifting, I'd still do it, but I'd do it almost non-weighted.
Like an empty bar.
Empty bar, you know, for me, a little bit heavier as we progress on, but definitely working positions. I mean, that's something that I do on a daily basis when I'm getting ready for competition, especially with the Olympic lifting and gymnastics, is that you can never be too efficient, ever, right?
And efficiency, totally agree with that, yeah.
Efficiency is what I believe keeps you healthy, and it also is the key to being able to trust your body and to see how far you can actually push it.
And that's what Lori was bringing up with the idea of ergonomics.
Yep.
It's an efficient kinesthetic awareness and movement.
Yeah.
But this is a thing that I've noticed, because this is always the injuries with people with doing CrossFit is with what you define as kipping.
Yeah.
And because what I imagine, knowing what I know about fascia, is that when you're moving, right, and you're trying to engage in a static movement, there is still some level of jerking that occurs, which makes a susceptibility to tears or various other problems within that shoulder region.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it really depends on the person and the coaches where you're at also. It has a lot to do with injury. I mean, CrossFit has a rap of getting shoulder injuries, knee injuries and such. And you know, I get it. You know, I've had my shoulder injuries, knock on wood. I've never had surgery. I've been able to rehab through just, you know, ancillary exercises. But a lot of it has to do with people really don't know how to check their ego at the door. And they tend to do things that they shouldn't be doing, you know, kind of as soon as you turn your back, next thing you know, somebody's trying to do these kipping pull-ups or something without you watching, without you being able to help them, trying to start them on their own. And so a lot of that is, you know, self-inflicted and honestly bad coaching.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because that was what I was saying to Lori earlier, a couple days ago, that Robbie is one of the few people that I know in CrossFit that really does follow, and is very doctrinaire, very didactic about following protocols that allow for the maximum amount of safety within a pretty competitive environment. And as a competitor, he knows, as do I, that anytime you're in competition, that is not always the safest thing to do. There's just no way to be 100% safe and be a competitor. It's just impossible. Yeah. Can't be done.
I mean, that's why we train so much. So we build these, if you want to call it, motor functions, and hopefully that we've practiced and trained so those motor functions, if I want to call them that way, are technically sound. Because when you're in competition, you're going to stay as technically sound and as efficient as possible until, you know, things break down. And then it's a matter of maintaining the best you can and getting the job done and hopefully coming out on top.
Oh, yeah. It's the same with any athlete.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and it's true as well. I mean, the caliber of the professional that's teaching, like in your instance with CrossFit, that's what it aligns with.
Sure.
Because it's the same with yoga. There's a ton of injury related around yoga.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of focusing on the ergonomics.
Yeah, and I think that's another, you know, kind of thing to say. Just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean you're a great coach.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You can bring up the name Ty Cobb in baseball and get a clear understanding of what a great baseball player he was. And
who's that?
And maybe the world's worst coach ever. Mm-hmm. Ty Cobb has the highest batting average in baseball history, as well as the most times over a batting average of over 400. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I just bring him up as a really bad coach and a great baseball player. And other stuff in his personal life I'm not going
to
bring up.
Yeah, and I think, to come back to you, Lori, with ergonomics, I mean, that's just, you know, that's what I believe is a coach's job, is to watch how the body's moving and make sure you can adjust it so the person, because everybody's different. Everybody's going to move different. Not everybody has the same size femur. Not everybody has the same size waist torso ratio, you know? And so everybody moves different, and you need to be able to put people in positions where they stay safe. And that's kind of the key to any coaching, what I would say, no matter what you're doing.
What you're basically saying, as safe as possible within the parameters of going into competition. Now, if someone's not going into competition, then the safety factor should be paramount. That should be number one, no matter what. Avoid it pretty much at all costs.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can be in great shape doing CrossFit with no injuries if you do that.
Even when we have people rehabbing, like, we scale workouts back all the time, you know, just and people that may not have range of motion. Like, I will change the movement for them for that workout, or the coach there will change the movement for them for that workout until we can gain, you know, number one, the strength or mobility that we need to get there. So it's really, and I'm lucky, you know, I've been very lucky to see how the body moves and be able to cue it that way. And I think a lot of that comes from my wife, Joanne, because she, you know, she was a gymnast. She was a ballet dancer and she, you know, worked with physical therapists. And so she really has a great understanding of how the body's supposed to work and does move, and has helped me out with that also.
I want to ask you.
It's nice.
What were some of the other events? You had the obstacle course, the 800-meter run, And then you had some lifts. So describe some of the lifts, and then obviously there had to be something besides lifts.
Yeah.
That were going along with that. So yeah, we describe
had,
your
we had like a single swim is, you know, a 500 meter swim for time. You know, fairly quick. But those are the worst, you know, like, what do they say? The worst run is a 400 meter run.
That's brutal.
And we had other things mixed in. Like there was a workout where you had to do it twice, and it was row 1,000 meters, use a ski erg for 750 meters. And then you had 2 50-pound dumbbells on your shoulders, and you had to do 50 squats, front squats with those. And you did that twice. And that was a workout that got the illicit reaction they were hoping for, because my legs were crushed. And, you know, maybe 2 hours later, we had a workout where it was run 300 meters, do 4 20-foot rope climbs, and Jesus. Then carry a 480-pound yoke 50 feet. And you did it again and did 3 rope climbs and carried the yoke and did the run and then 2 and then the run and then 1. And 480-pound yoke, Jesus. Even for me, was fairly heavy. Now, for the guys over at Foshan's, it's probably not that heavy.
Yeah, well, those guys
but,
are.
You know.
What's that? What's
those Foshan's? Guys are, I mean, and I'm saying this very lovingly, but those guys are giant missing links. Those guys are humongously, yeah, so, I mean.
Like so Steve just won Masters, World Strongest
Masters. Yeah, I just
Masters.
Just saw him.
So he's a strong man.
Oh, I've worked on a couple of those guys. Yeah. They're freaks.
They're awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
They're just anomalies.
They are outliers.
They are definitely outliers.
Steve put on a great competition over the summer. For
the Crown Mountain Strong. Yeah. So,
and Brian Shaw was there. Huh. And he's like a 4-time world champion strongman. And it was, I really wanted to meet him, you know, and so Steve introduced us, and that is one big, big man.
Yeah.
He's like 420 or something.
6'5", 420. I mean, I got a picture with him, and he's like holding the fist. His fist is bigger than my head. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking the differences in human sizes. When you know, people who are like kind of like in that big fat middle portion of the bell curve in terms of human size, when you go up and you know, it's shocking to see. It's almost like you just want to call them a humanoid. Yeah. They're just so freaking.
Yeah, big. I mean, I consider myself a little guy no matter what. You know, even on competition floors, I'm generally one of the smaller guys out there.
Well, that's props to you for having the heart and guts to push it. I also wanted to ask you briefly. We got about 3 minutes or so. Do you ever use, you know, heart rate monitor for training and just to see what kind of responses you're getting cardiovascularly speaking?
Yeah, so a lot of my training this year, especially, you know, the heart rate training and the, so it's based on percentage of your heart rate. Like I'll have to go run or row or bike at a percentage of your heart rate.
What's the percentage?
It depends on what you're trying to do. So a lot of times we'll be doing long distance, so it'll obviously be, you know, a lower percentage of your heart rate, to medium distance sprints, to short sprints. Anywhere from, so if we're doing like a 400 meter run or an 800 meter run, we maintain a certain one. If we're doing like a 200 meter run, we're pretty much trying to maintain like a 90-95% of your heart rate. And if you're doing just a 50 meter dash, it's all out.
So what are the percentages based on? This is
so,
what I'm not clear on.
Okay, so the percentage, like as you're operating in your different systems, right? Mm-hmm. One is your long distance, one's your medium distance, one's your short distance. Forgive me, it's leaving my head the names of those different systems.
Oh, anaerobic glycolysis would be in the middle. You got your phosphagen system or adenosine triphosphate, phosphocreatine, which is extreme short term.
Yep.
And then you have your straight up aerobic system.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple other systems, which one of is the emergency ATP, pure ATP. Yeah. Bang, that's like, God. That's where you turn around, you see the freaking bear, and he sees you as a nice meal for hibernation. You will have extra energy at that time.
So we train, you know, short bursts, medium bursts, long bursts.
Okay.
And that's kind of, and that's just really training your body how to adapt to all of those and train them to recruit those muscles in those phases over and over again.
Got it. Thank you.
We got about a minute left. All right. So Robbie, you are at, so just tell the audience how to reach you.
Yeah. We're at CrossFit Bonedale. So www.crossfitbonedale.com. you can always call me, 970-379-7768. And, you know, come on in. You know, the first class or two is always on us. We want you to come in, check the place out, see if you enjoy it, see if it's what you like, and then we can sit down, have an intelligent conversation about your goals and kind of move forward.
Well, that means I can't be in a conversation. I'm not going to have an intelligent conversation.
Oh,
you are just cruising for a bruising.
Whatever. Well, say goodbye.
Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks again.
And Robbie, I definitely want to have you on again. We'll go over some of the other stuff too, okay?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Thank you for so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.